Okay, so let's try to finish off this, I guess, brief discussion that we've been having. Okay, so we, on a Thursday, we left our discussion faced with two problems that we were trying to solve. The first one was the what seemed to be the kind of logical strangeness of the Gemara, the Braisa on Sanhedrin Daf and Tes Amud Aleph, which sets up this scenario, this picture in which the mitzvahs which were Nemru before Sinai and repeated at Sinai are mitzuvim to both Jews and non-Jews, and the mitzvahs that were Nemru before Sinai and were not repeated at Har Sinai are Nemru only to Jews, which is very strange, since it seems that Matan Torah only changed the picture for the non-Jews, for the Goyim, and not for the Israel. And how does that make any sense? We then went to look at the Rambam, and we read the Rambam in the Parish of Mishnayos in Chulin, and the Rambam presents us with a somewhat different problem. The Rambam insists very emphatically that the only reason why we're chayiv in anything is because we were mitzuvah through Moshe Rabbeinu. And there's no such thing as our being mitzuvah in something in any other fashion. He builds that on the Shitas Chachamim in the Mishnah in Chulin, who said that Gid Hanasha, which now we're actually in the Parsha Shavua for Gid Hanasha today, that the Shitas Chachamim, the Gid Hanasha, was not actually mitzuvah to Yaakov Avinu, it was just mitzuvah at Har Sinai. And the Rambam says there that's in the Parish of Mishnah, so that's not just what happened to be true for Gid Hanasha, but that's a matter of principle, that all of our mitzvahs are only through Moshe Rabbeinu and don't come from before Sinai. Which, by the way, just parenthetically, I'm not going to go into this, the Rambam is famous for holding, I don't think I mentioned this last week, Rambam is famous for holding that position even with regard to the Shem Mitzvah Ben Noach, that a Ben Noach, in order to, so to speak, be a true Ben Noach, who is keeping the mitzvahs, the Ben Noach, has to be keeping them because he believes that Hashem was mitzaveh them, and not just because he is, and not just because that's what he thinks is the right thing to do. And I believe the Rambam even might mention Moshe Rabbeinu in that context also even. But that's a side point. For our purposes here... Sorry?
Moshe gave the Torah? Or what about Moshe?
So I think the Rambam even mentions that somehow the force for even that comes through Moshe Rabbeinu. I have to look that up again. It's an Ochos Malachim. But for our purposes, what I said we were left with two questions. The second question is this question on the Rambam: how could the Rambam say that all of the mitzvahs that we have are only we're only commanded to do them because Moshe Rabbeinu was mitzvah to do them? It was all through Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we did comes to the conclusion that any mitzvah which is mitzvah to Bnei Noach but not repeated at Har Sinai is mitzvah to Yisrael only, right? The whole point of that is that those were dafka mitzvahs that were not repeated at Har Sinai. They were only mitzvah to Bnei Noach, and so those mitzvahs don't come through Moshe Rabbeinu. So how could that be? How could that be true that the mitzvahs only come through Moshe Rabbeinu? So those are the two related questions. So to try to bring us to some sort of resolution here, I wanted to go in two possible directions. Okay, the first is the direction that's opened up by the position of the Re'im, of the Eliyahu Mizrahi, which they gave you out that Xerox last time. If you don't have it, there's a few more copies here if you want to look at it together now. And this is the Eliyahu Mizrahi wrote a Perush on Rashi on Chumash. And on that first Rashi on Chumash, he says the following. Okay, let's start from that second paragraph. One second, I think the first paragraph that's important. But let's start from the second to last line in the first paragraph, where it starts "Mikol Makom," the beginning of the line. He says, Mikal Makom, he's referring to the mitzvahs that were mentioned before Sinai, like in Hanasha and Bris Mila and so forth. He says, Mikal Makom, Kevin Shalo Hayu Tzivuyan El Yachid, since they were only mitzvah to an individual, to Avram, to Yaakov, Einan Nechshavos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Einan Nechshavos Michal Mitzvoseha, Kozman Shalom Mitztavu Bam Kol Yisrael Bechlal. They're not considered part of the mitzvahs of the Torah until Kal Yisrael in general were mitzvah. The Torah Tzivalanu Ksiv, right? Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. The mashma, l'chol Yisrael, right, lanu in the plural, the Torah was commanded to us, not to some individual. U'lefichach, and therefore, chazer v'tziva behen b'sinai l'chol Yisrael, therefore those mitzvahs that were mentioned earlier were repeated at Sinai to all the Jewish people, k'dei she'yichashvu gam hei mechal mitzvoseha, so that those mitzvahs could become part of the group of mitzvahs that we have to do. So this is very much in the spirit of the Rambam, right, where he's emphasizing the centrality of what happened at Har Sinai. He doesn't mention the Rambam, but that's very much in that spirit. Then he does raise the question. If that's the way you view it, v'had the Sanhedrin parakarba misos d'am Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina kol mitzvah shenem lov neinoach v'nishneis b'sinai v'lezeh lezeh nem lov neinoach v'lo nishneis b'sinai v'yishronim v'lo neinoach, and so forth. Next line, the mashma, the Gid HaNashe of Rabbi Yehuda lo nishneis b'sinai, right? The Braisa is saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Gid HaNashe was not repeated at Sinai, it was only said to Yaakov. V'chein shev mitzvahs de b'nei Noach, she'omu perak arba misos, shelo nishnu b'sinai, elo kadesh yu nogin l'zeh ulazeh, right? The shev mitzvahs b'nei Noach, the Gemara said, the only reason they were repeated at Sinai was in order to make sure that we know that b'nei Noach and b'nei Yisrael are mitzvahs. The mashma she'afilu lo nishnu, had they not been repeated at Har Sinai, then they would have been mitzvah only to Jews, right? That's that system that it set up. How is that? How could it be that mitzvahs that were only given before and not repeated at Sinai would be part of our corpus of mitzvahs if it wasn't part of Sinai? Which was the same question we asked on the Rambam. Yesh Lomar, the Perush, and he revolutionizes the understanding of the Gemara Sanhedrin. He gives a totally new pshat. Yesh Lomar, the Perush nishneis tahacha b'chsiva kamayri. V'hachi ka'amar, kol mitzvah she'nichtiva levnei Noach, dahainu kodem bo'am bahar Sinai, v'chazra v'nichtiva achar bo'am bahar Sinai, l'zeh u'l'zeh nemra. V'chol mitzvah she'nichtiva levnei Noach, v'lo chazra v'nichtiva achar bo'am bahar Sinai, k'mitzis g'ran nashe, alib Rabbi Yehuda, Af al pi, and that's the key line. Af al pi she chazra v'nemra b'sinai l'chol Yisrael, v'yishroi nemra v'lo v'nei Noach. So says Mizrahi, the whole Gemara in Sanhedrin about, you know, things that were said before Sinai, repeated at Sinai, is not talking about history. It's not talking about when were these mitzvahs mitzuvim. When did Hashem communicate with people to tell them what had to do or what they weren't allowed to do? That's not what that Gemara is all about. That Gemara is only about the Ksiva. It's about the text of the Torah Shebichsav. Not when was it said, but where is it written in the Torah? Right? That's what it means. He says it's a given, the premise, that certainly for Jews, putting aside Bnei Noach, if we had another 3 days, we'd be talking about Shem Bnei Noach too, but at least for Yisrael, right, in order for us to be mitzvah in something, it has to have been mentioned in our Sinai. And that's he takes it as an axiom. It has to be that way. And so we presume that any mitzvah that we do, that we have to do, was certainly said to Moshe at Har Sinai, right? Whether we see in the Torah B'chsav that it was said to Moshe at Har Sinai, or whether it's just part of Torah Shema Peh that it was said to Moshe at Har Sinai, that has to be the case. The issue of how do we determine which ones are also Mitzvah from Bnei Noach, well, that's dependent on where it's written in the Torah. Is it written before Parshas Yisro? Before Parshas B'Shalach, perhaps? Sorry, not B'Shalach, Bo. Like before, as we talked last week, before Avodah Zarah and Rosh Chodeshim, right? Or is it written in the Torah afterwards? Right? So if it's written in the Torah before only, then it's only Mitzvah to Yisrael. Given the fact that it was mentioned, it was mitzaveh to us at Har Sinai, it's just not recorded in the Torah that way. Right? It's only mentioned in the Torah before Parshas Bo. So then it's only mitzvah to Yisrael. If it's written in the Torah both before and during or after Mamad Har Sinai, then it's mitzvah to both Yisrael and B'nai Noach. So what he does, he takes this the whole Gemara and makes it, and in a certain sense, less fundamental, right? Whereas the key basis for any tzivui to us, the kuli alma, according to any shita in the Gemara, is that it has to have been mitzuvah har Sinai to us. The only question is a matter of where it was written. So that answers his question. It also answers our bigger question, which was, why does this Gemara make any sense? Right? So we asked the question, how could it be that if it was already mitzuvah before, then the only thing that changes if it's mitzuvah again is that if it's mitzuvah again at Har Sinai, then the Goyim have to do it too. And if it's not mitzuvah, then only Yisrael have to do it. Why does that make any sense? Why is Mamad Har Sinai affecting the Goyim and not the Jews? So the answer is, no, that's not the way it happened. In a chinami, right? Anything that were mitzuvah was mentioned at Har Sinai. Of course it was, he says. What we have to do in order to determine what the mitzvahs of the Bnei Noach are to look at the text of the Torah. It's not a matter of what happened historically. Historically, the Bnei Noach were mitzuvim in certain things, and the Bnei Yisrael were mitzuvim in certain things at Har Sinai. And the only issue for us, it's more an issue almost of like of darshan. In other words, when we look at the Torah Shebichsav, what are the clues that we have in the Torah Shebichsav for Mrs. Bnei Noach? So why does it make any? Why does the conclusion now make sense? The conclusion now makes sense because, let's say you have something in the Torah Shebichsav that's only mentioned. It's only mentioned for Bnei Noach. Okay, and then at Har Sinai, Hashem told us we have to do it, but it wasn't written that way in the Torah. And then there are other things that were said to Bnei Noach, and we were told again at Har Sinai, and it was written again after Parshas Bo in the Torah. So how should those pieces of the puzzle fit together? So what Yosef Ben Hanina says is very simple. He says, Torah is ours, right? We were given the Torah Shebichsav. If there's a mitzvah that's written in the Torah once, right, then regardless of whether it was written before Matan Torah or written after Matan Torah, that's a mitzvah for us. Right? Only because orally it was mentioned to us at Har Sinai again, because that's the source of the koach of the mitzvah. It has to be through Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. But in terms of the text, given the fact that we were commanded verbally at Har Sinai, if it's written in the Torah just once, then that's a mitzvah for us, whether it was written before Har Sinai or after. If it's written twice, right, once before Har Sinai to Bnei Noach and once after, then how are we going to interpret that? We'll say, oh, okay, the one that's written after Har Sinai is a reference to the mitzvah that was given to us through Moshe at Har Sinai, and the one that's before is the mitzvah of Bnei Noach, right? So that's how it comes out, that if it's written twice, then it's L'zeh L'zeh Nemra. But if it's written only once, even if that once is before Har Sinai, that's only a mitzvah for us. But it's all based on the foundation of a verbal mitzvah that was given at Har Sinai anyway. That's how he reads that Gemara. And that answer, this whole approach, if you think that this whole approach to reading the Gemara also answers what seems to be the stira between from the Gemara on the Rambam, because the Rambam who insisted every mitzvah had to be given through Moshe Rabbeinu, the way the Mizrahi reads the Gemara, that's not a problem because every mitzvah was given through Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara is just talking about where it was written. If we had more time, maybe we would delve a little bit more into the nitty gritty here of, you know, how good a reading is that of the Gemara, how well does that fit into the language of the Gemara, how well does that fit into the Shakavatari of the Gemara. It's not so simple, but that's the approach of the Mizrahi. Okay. I should mention that I put at the end of the Mar Makomos there in parentheses the Mishnah Lamelech. So the Mishnah Lamelech, actually suggests this outright, that the Rambam held like the Mizrahi, and that that's how he reconciled the Gemara. Right, and he also raises a question, which I tried to avoid by the way I formulated it before, but this is just kind of parenthetical. The Mishnah Melech raises a kasha, just 1 second, raises a kasha on the Mizrahi. He says, wait a second. He says, you're telling me is that if a mitzvah was written in the Torah only before Har Sinai, but not afterwards, then it's only mitzvah to Yisrael, right? There's no mention of it in the Torah after Parshas Bo. But it's mitzvah only to Yisrael. Why? What's the basis for that mitzvah? Because we were verbally commanded at Har Sinai. So he asked Mishnah Melech, how do we know? How do you know that? If the Torah doesn't say that we were mitzvah afterwards, then who's to say that happened? What's the way that we know what happened is what it says in the Torah. So the whole thing is kind of is built as a house of cards, built on nothing. So he comes up with a teretz, but I don't want to spend the time on that right now. I mean, I think the simple answer to it is what I injected into the discussion before, which is Torah Shebal Peh. In other words, in Achinami, Mizrahi would probably answer, it's not in the Torah Shebasav, but the point is that we have a Mesorah, that this is our, that we're Metzuvah in this, and that was part of Torah Shebal Peh, that it was said to Moshe at Har Sinai. Mishnah Melech tries to work it into one of the Svaras mentioned in the Gemara, but I think it'll take too long for us to try to sort that out. Yeah?
Does that work out, the Mizrahi's rule? Does it work out in terms of what we actually practice and what we hold that
Yes. In other words, all of the discussion here, the Rishonim that are addressing this issue, they aren't really arguing about any facts. In other words, the facts are clear. It's just a question of why they are that way. In other words, right? We know which mitzvahs are mitzvah to who. We know it because the question is just how does it work out?
It's given that rule, where it's out, like everything that's repeated twice, they know how mitzvah and those mitzvahs.
Well, yeah, because the simple reading of the Gemara before we got to the Mizrahi, right, also was assuming that the ones that are repeated are written twice and the ones not repeated is written once. They were just assuming that once it was written that way, that's also the way it happened, right? He's just saying that, no, those are two different things. But ultimately, it's according to either Shita, the way it's written in the Torah is what's Koveya for this issue. It's just the question is, why is that Koveya? Okay, you following? Okay. So that's the Mizrahi. Okay. There's another. Oh, you know what? I forgot. I do need the parashat Mishnayos again. Right, again, I'll be back in a second. So what I want to do now is look back again at the Parasha Mishnayos and read it a little bit more carefully. And I think that a somewhat more careful reading might provide us with a different answer. Okay, so we had the Mizrahi, we're going to put that aside now. And this might suggest to us a different approach to help better understand the Rambam. This is the Mishnah in Chulin, the same parish of Mishnayos, this Mishnah in Chulin, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Vav. This is not a new parish of Mishnayos, it's just rereading the same one. says, Shatatzarech Ladas, you have to know, Shekol ma she'anu nizharim mimenu, o osim oso hayom, everything that we avoid or do today, meaning mitzvos lo osim tzaseh, ein ano osim zos, elam mipnei tzivui Hashem al yidei Moshe. We only do it because of the commandment to through Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo mipnei she'Hashem tzivui b'chach hanavim shekedomuhu, not because of the mitzvahs that were given to Nevi'im beforehand. Dugma l'chach. Okay, no, I'm going to skip that. That's not important. Oh, no, actually it is. Okay. Einanu ochlim eiver min achai. We avoid eating eiver min achai. Lo mipnei she'Hashem asar al b'nei noach eiver min achai. Right? Not because Hashem asar to b'nei noach, and we're also b'nei noach. Ella mipnei she'Moshe asar oleinu eiver min achai. But rather because Moshe asar eiver min achai on us. B'mashen it's... Now listen to this phrase and see if you notice anything striking about it. Because Moshe asked Eiver Menachai in us, b'mashen itztave b'sinai sheyisha'er Eiver Menachai aser. Through the fact that he, and there before we, were commanded at Har Sinai that Eiver Menachai should remain forbidden, should remain aser.
It was forbidden before.
Sorry?
It was forbidden before?
Yeah.
It should remain aser.
Right, so that's an interesting phrase, right? Now let's read the next line. V'chin einanu malim biglal she'avram malas atzmo v'anshebe. So we don't do bris milah because Avraham did bris milah to himself and his family. Ela mipnei she'Hashem tzivanu al yidei Moshe lihimo. Ela mipnei she'Hashem tzivanu al yidei Moshe, but rather because Hashem commanded us through Moshe Rabbeinu lihimol kemo shemal Avraham alav hashalom, to give do milah just like Avraham Avinu did. So in both cases, right, the Rambam goes out of his way to emphasize, on the one hand, that we're only mitzuvah because Moshe Rabbeinu is mitzuvah us, right, but on the other hand, to formulate it in such a way that he's indicating that this mitzvah is, right, what were you pointing out before?
Before.
Sorry?
It's commanded before.
Right, and that the mitzvah now, post Har Sinai, is, I don't know if because is the right word, but is a continuation of what came before. Right? Exactly. Right? In other words, the Rambam... Sorry?
Is this similar to, like, what we say with Sukkot?
That's more of a reason. Right? In other words, because... That was the Tami HaMitzvah. It's the reason for the mitzvah. Here, it's not the reason for the mitzvah. There are the other reasons for Bismillah. But what he's saying is that the... So even though the Rambam is intent on saying that the only basis for mitzvahs that we have is Moshe Rabbeinu, right? When there was a mitzvah to B'nai Noach, that we were also mitzvah Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't view this, or at least sometimes, we don't view this mitzvah that we were told in Har Sinai as necessarily something brand new. Right? It's not, you know, just a coincidence that they had to do it before and we have to do it now. What was said at Har Sinai is that you have to keep doing this, right? In other words, it's still viewed as a continuation of what came before. Had we not been told by Moshe, then the presumption would have been that it stopped. And now that we were told by Moshe that, no, you have to keep doing Bris Milah, you have to keep not eating the Gitanasha. So no, that wasn't the not the other example. What was the other example? The Gitanasha wasn't Dafka not. Avraham Menachai, he gave the example. Right, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I mean, just putting that in perspective of the people that actually were at Har Sinai.
Yeah.
They had their Bris Milah, and then on the Torah comes in their lifetime, and they would think that they didn't have to do it.
They already had it, but that their kids wouldn't have to.
They wouldn't have to.
Yeah. Right.
They didn't have it.
That's just weird.
They don't have the person
then
to Yeshua, no? Or is that the next generation?
There was no Mila, presumably, in Mitzrayim.
Right.
There was just no Mila in Midbar. That's the story in Yeshua, right? Yeah, exactly. Right. Sorry?
Why was there no Mila in the Midbar?
Presumably because of the difficulty of traveling and the, kind of involved. It's somewhat of a... I mean, there are midrashim about it. The psukim don't really provide any explanation of why. It's just the beginning of Sefer Yoshua. It says that that they gave a bris milah to everybody. You know, right after they went into Eretz Yisrael.
Did they thought they weren't required anymore?
Why would they have suddenly decided they were required when they got there?
They sure came in new directions, I'm sorry.
Okay, I mean, okay. That's not how Chazal explained it. Right, so this point could potentially provide us with a different way to understand a different way to reconcile the Rambam and the Gemara. We could argue the following, that when the Gemara says, so what was the problem for the Rambam? The problem for the Rambam was that the Gemara says that there are some things that were not Mishneis B'Sinai, and we still have to do them. And that doesn't make any sense, according to the Rambam. The Rambam said we only have to do things because they were said at Sinai. Right? So it's possible, and I'm not saying this is necessarily particularly convincing, right? But we do have a very difficult Rambam, so it is a possible terrace, is that the Rambam understood Nemra v'Nishneis to mean that what Nishneis repeated means really repeated. In other words, there are two ways for a mitzvah that had existed before to be commanded at Har Sinai. It could be commanded in the fashion of keep doing what you're doing, or it could be commanded in the fashion of I hereby give you this mitzvah. In other words, formulated as if it were something brand new, or formulated as just a continuation of what came before. So it could be that the Rambam understands that even the ones that the Gemara called lo mishneis b'Sinai were not repeated, that just means they weren't repeated fresh, right? But there was still a tzivoy to keep doing it, keep doing what you've been doing. And the ones that were nishneis means that it was formulated as kind of like a brand new mitzvah again. If you say it that way, then you first of all resolve the stira between the Rambam and the Gemara. It's structurally kind of similar to the Mizrahi answer, and then what we're saying is that even the ones that weren't nishneis really were. Right? It's just that what we're doing now is we're saying that there are two different kinds of nishneis. And what the Gemara calls not nishneis means that it was they were told keep doing it, and the one that says nishneis means they were told afresh to do this mitzvah. So that resolves this theory. It also provides a different way to understand and resolve our other problem, which is why does any of this make sense? Right? What happened at Har Sinai? So what this would mean is that if there was a tzivui at Har Sinai to the B'nai Yisrael, right, that said, keep doing this, right, then what does that mean? That's the case with the Gemara Kos Lo Mishneis B'Sinai. If it was a tzivui to B'nai Yisrael that said, keep doing this, that's an implication that that's a mitzvah for whom? For Yisrael only. Right? You, I'm telling you now, at this time out there, you keep doing this, meaning that other people don't have to keep doing this. Right? But if the mitzvah was actually nishneis, right, it was given as a, I hereby give this mitzvah to you, B'nai Yisrael, right, then that's the mitzvah is being commanded in a fashion that's unconnected with the pre-existing mitzvah, in which case, it makes sense to argue that the pre-existing mitzvah remains in force with Bnei Noach, and then it's also in force because it's a separate mitzvah for Yisrael. Just to repeat myself, to clarify, whereas again in the first method, if it just said keep doing this, then that formulation is actually addressing the continuity of the pre-existing mitzvah and saying it's only for you, and that's why it came out that way. Yeah.
Are these two formulations like evident in the actual in the Torah itself, or just the Rambam,
Okay, so good question. The problem is that it's very hard to evaluate since we have so few examples of something that was Nemra v'lo nishneis. Right? There are almost no examples. We only basically kind of have two examples, one of which is the Gid Hanasha according to Rabbi Yehuda, where that does play out very well, actually, right? Because we have mentioned in the Torah, okay, but not necessarily, but Adafka as a continuation of what came before, right?
That was during the story or later on as well. Is that just?
It's not mentioned later on.
But
that was said to the Jewish, when the Jewish people got the Torah. They got the Torah with this pasuk that said, "Al Kain." B'nai Yisrael don't eat the Gedanasha. So that's that was told to B'nai Yisrael, right? As an indication of the continuity of that mitzvah from before. So that works very well for that.
So you have to hold the Mizrahi a little bit then. He has to hold that because when it was said, it was all...
You're right. You have to... Well, and the other example is the example of... The other two examples that have to be worked out are Puruvu and Rismila. And you're 100% right in that this answer also forces you into the kind of box that the Mizrahi was forced into, which is to kind of make certain assumptions about what happened and the way things happened without necessarily having evidence in the Torah that that's the way it happened. You're right. You're still kind of forced into doing it that way. Okay. I think we're going to stop. There's a little more to do that's kind of not so much about these global issues, but locally with regard to understanding Bris Milah and the, as I mentioned to you very quickly last week, the fact that Bris Milah, according to one reading the Gemara, ends up actually being a mitzvah, this odd mitzvah that actually does apply to a certain subset of Goyim. We would normally think of mitzvahs either being mitzvahs for the Jews or mitzvahs for everybody, right? But Bris Milah ends up being, according to one day in the Gemara, that the descendants of Abraham, even the non-Jewish descendants of Abraham, but except for the descendants of Yishmael and Esav, are actually mitzvahs in Bris Milah. The B'nai Keturah, whom we just read about at the very end of 2 days ago is Parsha, are back to Mitzuvim in Bris Milah. So that's a whole interesting kind of exception to the normal picture. But we don't have time. We don't have time for that. Okay, thank you very much for doing this for a few days. And then Mizrach Hashem, Rabbi Sack will be back tomorrow.